Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you, and we jump right in. Good morning, Mark Schlereth.
Well, good morning, Michael. How are you, buddy?
Good, good. We jump right in. Had some breaking news overnight. Ian Desmond opting not to play baseball this season. Sent out a very long, very, I think, thoughtful, passionate explanation as to why. I'll just read a quick part of it. He says, quote, the COVID-19 pandemic has made this baseball season one that is a risk I'm not comfortable taking, but that doesn't mean I'm leaving baseball behind for the year. I'll be right here at my old little league, and I'm working with everyone involved to make sure we get Sarasota youth baseball back on track. It's what I can do in the scheme of so much, so I am. With a pregnant wife and four young children who have lots of questions about what's going on in the world, home is where I need to be right now. Home for my wife, home to help, home to guide, home to answer my older three boys' questions about coronavirus and civil rights and life. Home to be their dad. What's your reaction to Desi opting out?
That's Desi's right to opt out, and I understand all those things. All those things are important. You know, a lot of that stuff depends upon where you are in life. You know, if you're a young player that hasn't made his money yet, you know, you're in a different state than Desi is right now. And I'm not going to bag on anybody for not wanting to play, for not taking it seriously or what. I mean, I think everybody, even if you play, is taking it seriously, but I'm not going to bag on him for not wanting to play. I understand that. I understand where he's at, and all those reasons are perfectly acceptable reasons. I did an interview yesterday in Washington, D.C., Mike, just because of Joe Bugle's passing, my first offensive line coach. And this question came up, would you play? And I'd be like, hell yeah, I'd play. And, you know, and part of it is because that's what I do. That's what I do. And I do think it's important. You know, as much as we sit here and say, well, it's not essential and it's not, it is to me. Like, professional sports and sports in general are essential pieces to our economy. They're essential pieces to our sanity, for crying out loud. And so I'm a big professional sports is essential guy, and you can disagree with it. You can be angry about it. You can, you know, I mean, heavens knows there's a bunch of people that wake up every day just looking for something to be angry about. You know what? There's plenty of things to be angry about if that's what you are, if that's what you like to do. But the bottom line to me is, what football has given me, regardless of injury, regardless of head trauma, regardless of all those things, it's given me so much more than it's taken. And it has taught me so much about life and so much about how to deal with people and so much about how to be collective and so much how to understand that our differences are great strengths and bring us together. I do think it's essential business. That's me. He doesn't have to. That's him. And that's fine. I don't begrudge him for that. But I do happen to think that sports coming back is essential to the mental health of our nation.
Well, I invite you to check out Desmond's post on Instagram. It is a long post, and he goes into details as to some of the reasons why he's walking away, at least for this year. He talks about the risks, the health risks, but he also talks about from his own background growing up and some of the racial issues that he dealt with, and he explains some of them as part of the reason why he just decides now's not the time for him to be playing baseball. You know, he's certainly, you know, he's walking away from $5.5 million this year.
Right.
That's what he was set to make as part of his prorated contract. Now, I know he's made a lot of money. He signed that 5-year, $70 million contract here with the Rockies. So he certainly made his money, but still, walking away, I don't care how much money you've made, walking away from $5.5 million is quite a bit. So this is a guy that, you know, clearly has thought this out and is very resolute about the reasons why he decides it's not best for him to play baseball, and it supersedes making $5.5 million. By the way, he's owed $8 million next year, and his deal includes a $15 million team option for 2022 with a $2 million buyout. So basically, if the Rockies are prepared to eat, you know, $10 million over the next couple of years, they can move on from Desmond. This deal didn't work out right the way they thought it would. So I would think that we've seen the last of Ian Desmond as a Rocky.
I wouldn't doubt that. I mean, Ian Desmond obviously has not played. He has just not played great baseball. He has not been what you thought he was going to be. But there are plenty of, guys you'd rather have opt out, wouldn't you? I mean, on that roster, like Desmond would be down the list a little ways of the guys that you would like as Rocky fans to opt out. But, yeah, I agree with you. I don't know that Desmond will be back. Now, will the Rockies eat $10 million or will they eat next year's $8 million salary? I don't know. I don't know if they can stomach that, Mike. I don't know if they'll do that, but.
What about for this season? This is a big blow to the Breidich bounce back theory, the BBBT.
Yeah.
I think he was definitely counting on Desmond.
Bouncing back?
Bouncing back to one of his.
Bouncing back to 2012?
Was that his last best year?
I don't know. I'm just taking a stab in the dark. I mean, because since he got here, it's been fairly meager. I don't want to bash on Desmond. Desmond's a great dude.
Yeah, underwhelming.
But it has not been what you had hoped it would have been. When was his last good year?
Big year. Well, surprise, surprise. It was the year that probably helped get him the contract here. He was in Texas in 2016 after all those years with Washington. He hit .285 with 22 home runs and 86 ribbies.
All right.
So that was what precipitated the big deal. And it was probably, that was the year that Breidich was pointing to as, let me explain for those who maybe have forgotten over the last few months or are new to it. The Breidich bounce back theory is, we do nothing during the offseason to improve our baseball team. We stand completely pat with the idea that all the guys that underachieved last year will somehow bounce back to one of the really good years they've had in the past.
I think it's a very reasonable request, reasonable strategy. Just bounce back to like, not like bounce
not
back
like
to
the year
the mean
before.
Or to the, you know, to the average.
No.
But bounce back to the best year they've ever had.
Right.
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 Yeah. Reasonable.
Yes. It's the outlier strategy. Yeah. We're just going to count on everybody going back to
forget about the outlier on the bad side. We're bouncing back to the outlier on the good side.
All right. So much more with Ian Dunn, the Desmond story as we move along throughout the course of the morning. Your reaction on the Ramoslod.com text line 303-713-1043. Do you support? Do you understand? Are you applauding Desmond's reasons for walking away? And what does it mean for the baseball team this year? Remember, there's going to be a designated hitter this year. And so, you know, a guy like Desmond or some of these outfielders could easily be used as a DH, and now you're missing one of those guys. What does that mean for the Rockies this season? Coming up next, outside of quarterback, we know the questions that exist there. Do the Broncos have a playoff caliber roster? How do they rank among the NFL's best? We'll tell you next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans here. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options, such as zero money down or 0% financing for 84 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar has over 1,800 new and used cars on site and at sthmotors.com. And number three, location. Siltahar is right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, and they will deliver any vehicle to your home for a test drive or after purchase. Visit sthmotors.com and get everything you want out of a dealership.
Well, at the risk of incurring Stink's wrath, what do I care? I like getting you mad.
What? Well, I mean, what are you going to give me?
Well,
I know you
have a love-hate, mostly hate relationship with Pro Football Focus.
Okay. All right. Okay. I don't know, mostly hate, but I think that's fair.
So they put together, and it's really, this is not just some casual, hey, let's throw out some rankings. I mean, they do a deep dive into it. It's a long, summary of all the teams in the NFL and roster strength. Who has the best rosters in the NFL? Now, you have said on this show, I think about a week ago, you said you believe the Chargers and Raiders, not to mention the Chiefs, but the Chargers and the Raiders both have better rosters up and down than the Broncos.
We said that you could make that argument either way, but all three were very close, but we could make the argument, or I can make the argument, that the Chargers and the Raiders have better rosters. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
That's fair.
According to Pro Football Focus, the Raiders have the 25th best roster in the NFL. The Chargers, the 16th. How about this? They have the Broncos with the 14th best roster in the NFL. Let me ask you this question. We all know about the question marks at quarterback with Drew Lock. No big news, no big news there. It outside of quarterback for a second, just put quarterback aside. Is this a playoff roster?
Is this a play? No.
Why? Why not?
Well, I think offensively, there's too many unknowns. There's too many question marks. There's too many potential pitfalls. I mean, you're counting on we've got the Breidich bounce back theory, right? This is the rookies are going to play at Pro Bowl level theory. We got the rookie at center, two rookie wide receivers, young tight ends, two offensive tackles that are question marks at best. Although, not according to Pro Football Focus. All you have to know is Garrett Bowles is the highest rated offensive lineman we have according to Pro Football Focus. Right there, automatically.
That's true.
That automatically, that disqualifies them from having any, in my book, having any credibility.
They've always been kind of bullish on Bowles.
Yeah, automatically discredits them.
The direction I'm going at here is this a...
Is they're stupid?
Is this a playoff roster if you had a veteran quarterback?
Like who? Like Flacco? Or like Cam Newton?
Jameis Winston?
Keenum. There's the interception.
Case Keenum. The idea that if you had a little bit more of a... known at quarterback versus the unknown, even if the known is somewhat average, would this be a playoff team? I mean, they still may be a playoff team even without even with Drew Lock, but what I'm getting at, Mark, is we know that this season, whether or not they make the playoffs or not, will ultimately come down to what they get from Locke. Is he able to continue to build on what he did last year? But is this a team that is built to be a playoff team if they get slightly above average quarterback play? Doesn't even have to be great quarterback play, just slightly above average quarterback play.
I personally think there are too many question marks on this roster. Like you're basically saying that this roster, all these young players are going to have to play exceptional football. Like they can't have a 6-game window early in the season that says, hey, we got to figure out what we are and who we are and what our identity is, and you got to get up to speed, and we can go 2-4 in the first 6 games. You're out of it. And so just simply that, again, it's not that I don't like what they've done. Like, it's not that I don't have a lot of respect for the players that they drafted and that I think those guys are going to be great. I just have enough respect for this game to know how hard this game is, especially for young players. Do you understand the difference? It's not that those young players are not going to be good at some point. It's not that Kush isn't going to be someday a really good player. Man, I did a couple of Minnesota games, Mike, and they took a guy that played center that was highly touted center.
Bradbury.
He's the best center in the draft a year ago. He struggled. Now he played pretty well for a rookie, but he wasn't prime time. Now he may become prime time, but there are growing pains that you're going to go through. And like, I have too much respect for how hard this game is to sit here and go, yes, with KJ Hamler and Jerry Jeudy and Albert O and Kush and Bolsey and, you know, and whoever we got playing right tackle that doesn't show up, like, we're going to be awesome. Like, there's too much respect for the game. It's too hard.
Boy, this defense is going to have to be good. Scratch that. Great. Impactful. Because you just feel like...
Early. Yeah, early.
That somehow this team needs to just hang in there. Hang around. You know, through those first...
Six
games or so, yeah. Through those... through the first seven games. First seven games. Titans, Steelers, Bucks, Jets, Patriots, Dolphins, Chiefs. Just find a way to hang in there with the idea that this offense, which on paper, you know, has a lot of potential, but you're right. It's young. It's inexperienced. There's a new offensive coordinator. There's no off season. You're not going to get the kind of practice time and reps that you normally would get. If they can just hang in there, then maybe that second half of the season, you know, the offense is now able to kind of pull its weight.
In that first seven games that you mentioned, what do they have to be for you to be like, what do they have to be record-wise? They have to be 3-4?
First seven games. Okay, if the idea is to get to 9-7 and put yourself in the mix for a wild card spot. Yeah, I think you have to be
at least
3-4. Yes. 2-5? Now, you're not going to recover from that.
No.
Find a way to hang in there.
I'm not sure.
By the way, in case you're interested, the other AFC teams that Pro Football Focus has ranked with better rosters than the Broncos at 14. 14th overall, they have the Broncos. The other AFC teams, Indy, Cleveland, Pittsburgh. Who else? Tennessee, Buffalo, Kansas City, of course, and Baltimore. So
that's seven of what do you got? 16 teams in the AFC. So
7 out of 16, better.
So
and they got the Chargers and Patriots right behind them. And who knows now what the Patriots are going to look like? You know, with the Cam Newton experience. So it's going to be the battle for the wild cards in the AFC is going to be fascinating. And it'll go down to the last week. It really will. It'll be all kinds of different permutations. And if this, then that, if this team does this, if you want to get in, this team has to win and this team has to lose. It should be wild.
I tell you what, there's going to be a lot of math. A lot of math.
A lot of tiebreakers. We're going to know all the tiebreakers, I think, by the time we get to week 17. Coming up next, it is the Morning Brew. ESPN laying out their odds as to who's going to win the NBA title. Where do the Nuggets come in? We'll tell you next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep lightning, and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
Know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy.
This some serious gourmet shit.
Let's get it on.
And Desi drives his ball high in the air, deep right center. Take a good look. You won't see him for long. A grand slam from Desmond.
AT&T Sportsnet there with the highlight. Ian Desmond deciding to opt out of playing for the Rockies this season. He will forego his $5.5 million that he would make prorated part of his salary because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Also because a desire to spend more time with his young family. He's got a pregnant wife. Also citing social issues that are going on in this country. He just doesn't feel that he should be playing baseball right now. Mark, just from a baseball standpoint, let's just talk about it from a baseball standpoint. How much does this hurt, if at all, the Rockies?
Well, I think with, I think where it hurts is the potential, Mike, of the designated hitter. You know, I mean, he gives you flexibility there. I mean, he can start just about any position. You know, he can start in the infield, first base. He can start in the outfield. He can do all those things for you. So he gives you a ton of versatility. And then also he could be the guy off the, you know, the guy that is your designated hitter for the day. So, does it hurt? Yeah, it hurts. There's an experienced player right there that, like I said, they can play multiple positions. You know, back in his Washington days, he played a ton of shortstop. He's played first base here. He's played in the outfield here. So, yeah, that versatility hurts you.
It does hurt. Ian Desmond's been a pinata since he signed his big contract. I get it. He's been a disappointment. But, you know, this is still a guy that can get hot. This is still a guy that can still get hot. And when you're talking about the 60-game sprint, you know, the idea of having somebody that can go out and get hot for a while. And even his batting average has been terrible, but, you know, last year he still had 22 home runs. He still had over 80 RBI. He's a decent outfielder. He's got experience. And with this 60-game season being so different, I think you're going to need that experience. You're going to need that kind of leadership to kind of get through all this. So I know that Desmond, for a lot of people, it's like, hey, good riddance, who cares? But I don't think they're a better baseball team without him.
I agree with you. I don't think they are. I think he gives you versatility on a night-to-night basis. He solves potential issues. And now, of course, in a 60-game schedule, how many days off are guys, you know, like, hey, man, Nolan Arenado's not getting a day off. Story's not getting a day off. I mean, no. But you still have question marks at first base. You still have some question marks. Like, he would be a very valuable piece, a rotational piece, and also at the dish, like we talked about, with the designated hitter role.
Next on the Morning Brew.
The bubble is likely going to be the safest place that you can be because all of us have to eat somewhere. The majority of us have to go back to work and venture through getting COVID. And I know it's a scary place and time to be in, but the reality is the NBA coming back is absolutely a really good thing.
That is former NBA player, now with ESPN, analyst Ryan Hollins was on with Nick and Cecil last night. So ESPN ran all its simulations and predictions for the playoffs using their real plus-minus system. Here's how the Nuggets fared. They have a 51% chance of landing the number 3 seed and most likely would play Oklahoma City in the first round. And according to the projections, they'd be an underdog against Oklahoma City. They only have the Nuggets with a 7% chance to make it to the conference finals, a 0.9% chance to make it to the NBA finals, and I don't get this one, a 0% chance to win it all. Well, if they're in the playoffs, they got a chance. How can they have a 0% chance?
Well, maybe they rounded down. Maybe it was like 0.238.
Yeah, 0.0.
Yeah, it was like
2.7.
Blutarski's grade point average or whatever.
That's right.
Right? I mean, what is the real plus minus?
I have no idea.
Equation.
I don't know.
I bet you has some heretofores in it.
Yeah, you know. Some heretofores, therefores.
Yeah.
Thusly. Hey, look, they go as far as Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, specifically Murray. I've been saying it for all year. He is the wild card. If you get a great Jamal Murray, I think they can go to the NBA Finals. If Jamal Murray is the up and down and is the inconsistent, where was he in Game 6 and 7 against Portland last year? They may not make it out of the first round. Next on the Morning Brew.
It's short. It's grabbed by J.R. Smith. Smith is going to run it out. I think J.R. didn't know how much time was left. J.R. could have dribbled up near the timeline, and we're going to overtime. Oh, my goodness. I think J.R. thought the Cavs had the lead. He grabbed the loose ball, dribbled up near midcourt, and by the time he decided to pass it to somebody, the clock had expired. We're going to overtime.
Cavs radio. Boy, you want proof that LeBron James is running the Lakers? That he's the GM? So Avery Bradley of the Lakers opted not to come back and play. Guess who the Lakers are replacing Avery Bradley with? Yes, J.R. Smith. Everybody's favorite knucklehead.
It's been activated.
Hey, look, LeBron's had some success with J.R. They did win a title together, but man, talk about having nine lives. J.R. Smith. How does he... I mean, from watching his time here with the Nuggets to what he's done, I mean, he puts the trick in trick-or-treat player. I mean, he's the ultimate trick-or-treat player.
Oh, he's phenomenal. Athletically, he's off the charts. Off the charts.
But he's a knucklehead.
Well, yeah, but...
just a giant knucklehead.
But, you know, like for LeBron, he's our knucklehead.
Yeah,
like,
he may be a knucklehead. Why?
Hey, listen, I don't know why. I just know that LeBron James is the grand... I mean, he's the head coach. He is the general manager. Did you see any of that documentary on LeBron James? Like, the year they came back to... when they came back to Cleveland, they won the title. And they took the Golden State Warriors to Game 7 and won on their court. Like, they have, after the game, they have, like, the team rallies up and everything. You never saw Ty Lue once. He was the head coach of the, he didn't even speak. LeBron did everything. LeBron was totally in charge of that team. So, yeah, you're right. He's LeBron's guy. LeBron knows what he's gonna get out of JR.
Well, This is clearly about comfort. And hey, they get along. I have no doubt that JR and LeBron get along, and LeBron mm-hmm. wants somebody. They're going to be stuck in this bubble for 70 days. You know, he wants somebody around that he likes and he gets along with. But beware, Lakers. Beware. If you're going to count on JR Smith, all I can say is trick or treat. Get ready. I mean, this guy can hurt. This guy can help you. He can kill you. Next on the Morning Brew.
Newton backs up, looking in zone, has a receiver, leaping grab, Moore, touchdown.
That is DJ Moore.
That's
DJ
to the right Moore. Side, Newton to Moore.
Panthers radio, count Kurt Warner among those who believe that Cam Newton going to the Patriots is a good thing. Warner sees a lot of similarities to himself as, you know, he kind of used a move to Arizona late in his career as kind of a rebirth and a rejuvenation for his career. He believes the same thing can happen with Cam. How do you think Cam, based on what you know, what you've heard about the way the Patriots and Belichick do things, how do you think he'll handle that kind of environment? It's not made for everybody.
Right. Well, it's a one-year deal, so... I don't know. That's going to be an interesting aspect. I think that's the thing that gives me the most pause, Mike, is I know how they coach their guys. I know there is no mama cat involved if you play for the Patriots. It is 100% like you're on guys. You're grinding on guys. You're like, I've joked around with guys who play with the Patriots before, like how Bill Belichick gets on Tom Brady. I could get a quarterback from Foxborough High to do what you do. You're awful, you know, and just like on and on and on and on. Just grinding on people. I mean, that's how they coach. And so, you know, can Cam Newton handle that type of criticism, that type of coaching, that type of negative reinforcement that, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that. I mean, most of us growing up that are our age, Mike, that's how we were coached. That's how coaching evolve. Like, that's the way it was. I think it's probably changed to some degree, but I don't think it's changed within that building.
I think he's actually going to do well. I don't know if he can play anymore, but I think in terms of him walking into that environment, I think he's right. He has to be humbled by everything that's happened this offseason. I mean, he's looking around, and he's settling for a bare minimum veteran deal with all kinds of incentives. Meanwhile, you know, the Chicago Bears are giving up draft capital and paying all kinds of money for Nick Foles. You know, he's seeing some of the backup money that Andy Dalton's getting. Jeff Driscoll is making more than Cam Newton will be making this year.
But part of...
He's got to be humble by that.
Part of the reason he agreed to that... Come on now. He's not agreeing that to that contract to go anywhere else but New England. Why? To get coached. To have a chance. To resurrect his career. Like, that's why he's doing it. And so, you know, I mean, that's the whole process. So maybe you are right. Maybe he'll be able to handle that. You know, what if you have success and all of a sudden, you know, 6 weeks in or 7 weeks in, you're 7-0. And now all of a sudden you're like, whoa, slow down on this, trash of me, man. I want to do Cam for a while, right? I want to do some of my stuff. I happen to think that he's matured enough and he's grown up enough and he's been, like you said, humbled enough to kind of accept, like, this is what I need for my career to get it back on track and give myself an opportunity next year in free agency to sign a huge deal, whether it's with New England or whether it's with somebody else. Belichick has said back when Cam was in his heyday, he said he's the toughest guy we've had to coach up against.
Yeah, I think he's 2-0 against the Patriots.
2-0, almost 700 yards of offense, 7 TDs, and 1 turnover. So he's like, he gives a defensive coordinator, a defensive coach, a ton of stuff you got to think about. And he opens up a playbook to a lot of things that you don't normally defend. So, you know, it's a whole other realm of, think about, here's the beauty of a guy like Lamar or beauty of a guy like Cam. If you're not afraid of them getting hurt, like if you're saying, hey, listen, man, he'll avoid the big hits. He'll do. This is the beauty of that. You go into any given week of preparation. You see what a team does. Everybody runs. You know, everybody runs a branch concept. Everybody runs a stick concept. Everybody runs a spacing concept. Everybody runs, you know, a buffalo concept. Everybody runs, like, you can go through all these different concepts, 2x2 formation, 3x1 formations, all the different things that people run. Everybody runs, they load one side, they run X drift on the other side. Everybody runs that stuff, right? So that stuff that goes from week to week to week, the preparation stays pretty much the same. There's slight nuances on that stuff, but for the most part, if you're practicing that week one against whoever you're playing, you know, who do the Broncos have week one? The Titans? If you're practicing that week one on the Titans, you know what? Week six against the Dolphins, it's the same crap, right? Now all of a sudden, you're throwing in some concepts, some zone read concepts and some quarterback counter concepts and some other things, some option concepts that you don't ever practice against, right? You never practice against, and here's what happens to you. You say, we need more practice time on this. So all the things that are staples that we know they're going to run, we've practiced those the last couple of weeks. We're just not going to practice that this week. And that's what gets you. You make a little nuanced mistake on, you know, on a basic route combination, on a basic drag slant, and all of a sudden you give up, 22 yards in a first down. You're like, son of a gun. That's day one installation. But we were so busy and so focused on everything else that that's what caught us.
You're right. The Patriots are in a position where, hey, it's a one-year deal. And if they want to use up Cam Newton.
Sure.
And you know, have him run around 6 or 7 times with design runs. Okay, he takes a little bit of a beating, but we're only invested for a year. Not much. And you're right about Lamar Jackson. Hey, in Kansas City, Andy Reid looks at Patrick Mahomes and said, this is my guy for the next 15 years. In Baltimore, John Harbaugh looks at Lamar Jackson and says, hey, if I can get, what, 6?
Yeah.
5-6 years out of him?
Yeah.
I'm happy. Two different approaches.
Right.
When it comes to career longevity and therefore what you're willing to expose your quarterback to.
Right. they're looking at that. They're looking at those as windows. You know, how much of a window do we have? Well, right now we're in the midst of a great 3-4 year window to win a championship with Lamar Jackson. And those windows close. To, you know, your quarterback may stay the same, but legitimately, you know, you got to turn over your defense, or you have to pay your quarterback, and then what happens? You're going to lose a lot of, you know, a lot of potential really good players. So, like, there's a lot of that stuff that goes on. Yeah, you're 100% right. I mean, it's a different, there's a different perspective on your, that position based upon what kind of guy you have. What's the longevity of Cam Newton? Come on, Cam Newton is in his, what, early 30s right now?
31.
31 years old.
He's young.
I mean, that's if you're a drop back guy, you're just walking into your prime the way quarterbacking is going right now. Look, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger's got to be late 30s, 38 years old. You know, same thing with Aaron Rodgers, same Drew Brees is in his 40s. Obviously, Tom Brady's in his 40s. He's going to be 43 in August. I can't remember the date, maybe 15th or something like that, but it's right around the corner. I can't wait to celebrate.
Some reaction to Ian Desmond deciding to opt out. Man, how will the Rockies survive not having his 120 average and the 4 home runs that he would have contributed? Will in Johnstown. Another one, Christmas in June. Baseball's coming back and no Desmond. Woo!
Wow. It's kind of harsh.
Mark, essential in the COVID environment are people essential to someone being able to live.
Mm-hmm.
Hospital, grocery, supply chain, workers, fire, and police. They are essential for us to live at the most basic level. Hitting the small ball is not essential. Nice to have, but I need groceries and medicine first. Thank you. From Mary.
Well, Mary, I tell you what, you know, you can walk around and be all pissy if you want, but, you know, that's on you. It is essential. It's essential to mental health. Like, don't discredit mental health for the rest of us either. And that's just my opinion. I said you can have your own opinion. You can be anti, you know, you can be anti on that stuff. But for me, and for a lot of people, man, that's an essential thing. That gives you hope. That gives you excitement. That gives you something to look forward to. So, maybe you don't think that, you know, and I get it. You don't think that way. And that's fine. You don't have to think the way I think. That's what makes it beautiful, right? We can have different opinions. Maybe I shouldn't.
Here's one
jump
more.
Down your throat.
Anybody who does not understand or support Ian Desmond's decision to me is just one of those people that thinks everything is just a hoax and is fake and I don't have time for this anymore. You've just got to make the best decisions you can, and I support any decision you make. Listen, this is a guy who's walking away from $5.5 million. I don't care how much money he's made in his career. You walk away from $5.5 million to play baseball for a few months. That's significant. Also, when you consider that at age 34, if he wants to continue to play and get another contract, because it's likely the Rockies will likely move on from him, sitting out a season of baseball doesn't help you when you're going to be 35 next year.
Sure.
and perhaps looking for work. So, for him to factor all that in and still decide, hey, it's more important that I, you know, be with my family, pregnant wife, young children. And if you read his Instagram post and how he expressed himself, and if you listen, and we'll have Patrick Saunders coming on at 7:45, a Rockies insider from the Denver Post. This is a guy, whatever you may say about Ian Desmond, he is universally loved and respected by his teammates.
Sure.
So this is a guy who I think is he's not a dumb jock. Okay. And for him to arrive at this decision,
right,
I'm sure he put a ton of thought into
right.
it. It's well thought out. I respect it.
As do I. And you have the right to feel that way. He's very thoughtful. You can see, I went in one of the breaks and looked at all his Instagram posts. He's a very thoughtful guy. Like, yeah, absolutely. He has all these guys have the right. And there's going to be other guys that follow Mike. There are going to be more guys that decide to opt out. And if they have medical, like if Desmond has some type of pre-existing medical situation, then he could still get paid for this season, even though he sits out. And I don't know what his status is. I have no idea, but, I completely respect his decision to sit out. Now, me personally, I play.
Another one, Mark, you can't be more far off. You really think Cam Newton wants to be coached? He still thinks he's the man. Adam Schefter said New England was the only real team to have any real interest. Cam had no choice.
No, listen, Cam had choices. If you think Cam doesn't have a choice.
Well, no, wait a minute. Schefter said that the only other team that showed any kind of interest, and it was basically just a phone call, was Cleveland. That's it.
Which is fine as a backup, right? So, but you can't tell me that here's the problem with that. One, Cam has certainly had his injury issues, correct? So that's always going to put a damper on teams. Here's the other thing that happens. Teams right now aren't showing interest in a guy like Cam Newton. Why? Well, because of the injury history, and also because at this point, teams want to see if their young backup can play or if their young starter can play, i.e. Minshew. Can Gardner Minshew carry us? And what ends up happening inevitably in training camp, and a lot of guys slow play this. Hey, Ryan Logan still hasn't signed, right?
Ryan.
Yeah, same guy. Sometimes he uses it. He flips or flops.
Well, you can flip him.
Logan Ryan. He's a guy with two first names. I wouldn't sign him. But anyhow, I mean, there's a guy that probably has had discussions. They may just be phone calls, but he's like, I'm going to wait to see what opens up during training camp and then see what team gives me the best opportunity to not only come in and play and start and contribute, but maybe get to the playoffs again. So that's how a lot of these veteran players handle that. I don't doubt that he's only had one other serious conversation. But I am sure there are teams that have checked just to see what his health is like and everything else. And again, they're going to let things play out when they do get into camp and see kind of where they are. This is kind of how this works.
Yeah. And it's just, it's why I put Cam Newton, Colin Kaepernick and Tim Tebow all in the same pool here is that unless you believe that those guys can come in and legitimately compete for a starting job, it makes no sense to just have them as a backup.
No,
because they're too charismatic. They're too popular. You want your backup to be seen and not heard. And these guys are not see and be not heard guys. They're just not. So that immediately restricts,
right?
Let me
tell you the other thing. The other thing is most teams don't have the cachet. They don't have the pelts to come and offer you a minimum wage contract. Most teams are looking at Cam Newton saying, man, we're going to have to offer him $7 million in an incentive-laden deal, you know, when he becomes a starter, whatever. Like, most teams don't have that credibility. Like, Cincinnati or Jacksonville. You think Jacksonville calls Cam Newton and offers that same deal? Of course he's not going to sign in Jacksonville. So they don't even make the call, Mike. But New England can make that call because they can sit there and say, hey, we play in the AFC East. We mentally dominate everybody, and everybody's scared to death of us. We've had this 20-year death grip on their necks. They're scared to death of us. You come here on a one-year make-good deal. We'll give you some incentives if you play well. We're good, man.
All right, coming up, speaking of being scared, is this the year to be scared of the Kansas City Chiefs? One of our very own fan brothers say, no way. We'll debate it next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.